For I am the Lord that guides thee, and I am the God of your strength. I am the Lord in your daytime, and I am the Lord in your night. My name is Yahweh. I am that I am that I am. For I will always be with you. For I have chosen not to leave. Let your eyes look upon my face. I will hold you in my
such a gratefulness in your heart. There is such a thanksgiving because you know what you have gone through. And you know I have been there. And you know I have been with you. And you know that I have made provision for you again and again and again. So receive my strength. In that you've received my mercy. In that you've received my love for you. Receive now my power. Receive my strength in the name of Jesus Christ. Kira moho shitera. Gron votea sede in Jesus' name. Kola nera ka satana. Dora bala ne in do ho sede. Donne el de in nono kote in der bote in no ho sana. In Jesus' name. So are you ready for the word? Am I right or? Oh, you have to go. Okay. When she gets up, either her or Shobi, I usually expect the kids to go. So I make the kid announcement and she stands up. Sometimes they don't tell me everything. Praise God. You ready for the word this morning? Let's share our favorite Bible verse together, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. We're talking about the just shall live by faith. We started talking about the practicality of faith. And last week we began to look at where does faith start. It's interesting to me, Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38 all say, quote Habakkuk, saying, the just shall live by faith. And most of us know that. Most of us have heard that. Even if you're in very dead churches, you hear, well, the just shall live by faith. But nobody knows what faith is. Nobody knows where you get faith. Nobody knows what happens when you have faith. It's just faith is, well, you got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But even now, in many mainstream denominations, they can't even say that. You know, it's believing that Jesus, that there's one way to heaven. And many denominations now are saying, well, we believe there might be other ways possible. We don't. So they're watering down the gospel. So even today, faith is in the process of being redefined to be culturally sensitive. Years ago, I was asked to be a speaker at a Christian club, and I won't give the name of it because I found out what happened to that club has happened to lots of Christian clubs that were created for business people, that were created to lift up the gospel of Christ, to give businessmen a way to come together in the name of Jesus, of like precious faith, and begin to pray for the community and have Christian activities for the community on a business level, not on a fellowship level as much, but on a business level. And when I was talking to him, I said, I'm really amazed here. I didn't know you guys were a Christian group. Oh, we are, but we've had to change that because now that we've grown, we're in Muslim countries and we're in India. Hindu countries, and we're over in Japan, and we're over in China. And because we spread now, we can't emphasize Jesus any longer. And I thought, how sad. And they still lift up the individual who founded the organization, but his was a Christian faith, and it was a Christian witness to business people to come to know Jesus Christ. But now we can't do that anymore because, well, it might offend somebody. Well, isn't that what Jesus told us? He said, I'm going to offend. I'm going to make people upset because he said, I'm bringing the truth to them, and the truth often offends when we don't like it, when we don't agree with it because we've been brought up in the ways of the world. Christ is going to offend you. So faith is really coming, not coming. It's been in question for a long time. But now, even that undefined level of faith, or that open belief in faith, is beginning to actually be brought over into church doctrine, to where some denominations will almost even deny that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So we raised a question last week, where does faith start? And we found out that the first level of faith starts when we believe and respond to God speaking to us. I'm not going to go back and review that because we don't have time. But in Romans 10, 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word, hearing by the word of God, is by the rhema of God. Rhema is God's revealed word that changes your thinking. It doesn't. If it hasn't changed your thinking, you don't have rhema, or you don't have revelation yet. When you get revelation, it'll change your activity, it'll change your behavior, it'll change the way that you think and the way you approach things, because now you understand things. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I acted like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. I began to act like a man. When you become a Christian, you put away the things of the world and you begin to live for Christ and let Christ live in us. That's what Christianity is. It's that individual, unique relationship between us and Jesus, co-mingled together with one another. Okay, building on that, of where faith starts, Adam's sin of unbelief separated God from his creation. And God, when Adam sinned, it's interesting, God made the first sacrifice. God went out and killed an animal, and he clothed him with animal skin, because only by blood can forgiveness be bought. So God initiated sacrifice. Now, that's important to think about, because when you look at the law and the letter of the law that Moses gave, the sacrifice is all through it. But we have to understand, Moses did not originate sacrifice, God did. So all sacrifice has its beginning with God. It's just like the tithe. God instituted the tithe. It wasn't man's idea. God instituted. So if God instituted it, it must be good. Amen? So God gave the first sacrifice by making a covering for humanity from the skins of animals, and men have been making sacrifices ever since. One of the things we were watching a show the other day of, when did humans first come on the earth? Well, you know how archaeologically they define if it's a group of monkey bones that they found, or whether it's human bones? When they find human bones, and they usually find this in burial, they find that the bones are laid very purposely in the gravesite, and there's usually some personal artifact accompanying the body. Some sacred items, maybe an image of their god, maybe a deity carving, but there's something about it, because early man, cavemen, ignorant people, people that knew nothing except they built the pyramids, people that knew nothing, had this concept that we're created in the image of God. And when a person dies, our soul lives on forever. Now today they tell you, well, that's just stupid. That's not really how it is at all. We don't know if there is an afterlife. And there's a lot of people that tell you, important, educated people that tell you, when you die, you're dead, and that's the end of it. But isn't it amazing that archaeologically, when we go back and study when civilization came in and when monkeys became man, it's always that demarcation point of where they buried people in the hope of a resurrection. They had a faith. They had a religion. This amazes me because even the world that denies God uses God to determine when we became human. Monkeys never buried anybody. Monkeys never laid out the body in the ground. Monkeys never carved anything, but man did that. Why? Because of faith. So sacrifice, they offered a sacrifice, the offerings with them for the afterlife. All this is tied in. Go with me to John 3:16. I want you to look at this. John 3:16. We know the verse, but I want you to look at it. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I want to look at the first part of that right now. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Father gave Jesus to us as the final sacrifice. He gave Jesus to us as that sacrifice of all sacrifices that ends the sacrifice, because we no longer have to offer sacrifice because Jesus satisfied it fully and completely and forever. Now, faith is our response to our belief of the sacrifice of Jesus. Did you catch that? Faith is our response to the sacrifice of Jesus. You cannot believe in Jesus if he didn't do anything. So faith is our response to what Jesus is offering to us, that he died for our sins, that he died to make us clean. He died in order to make a way for us to reach the Father. He died that we could have communication with God again. It's not just a bloody man hanging on the cross. Many people have died that way, before Christ and after Christ, but Jesus didn't die for himself. He died for you. And he was a perfect sacrifice because he was without sin. And God sent him to the cross. You know, Jesus said, "No man takes my life, it is mind to lay down or to pick up again." When they came to arrest him in the garden, Peter wanted to defend him. Peter drew his sword. Peter was willing to fight. And Jesus said, "No, it must be this way." Why? He was giving himself as a sacrifice. No man took his life from him. Remember in the garden, they came to arrest him, and they said, Jesus said, "Who are you looking for?" "We're looking for Jesus." And Jesus says, "I am he." And they all fell down. Can you imagine the scene in the garden? I can just see Jesus standing there. "Okay, guys, time to get up. Come on, you got to arrest me. You got to take me to jail. You got to beat me. You've got to do all these things. Okay, stand up." It's like he's waiting for him. And then he said again, "Who did you come for?" "Jesus of Nazareth." They fell down again. That's what the Bible says. They fell down. They couldn't stand. They fell down. They didn't go, "Whoa, I'm surprised you would admit who you were." No, they fell down to the ground. So Jesus has to wait for him again. The next time Jesus said, "Take me." He said, we got to get on with the business here, guys. We got to get the sacrifice thing done. So this is, Jesus knew what he came for, and this is what he came. That's why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Now, faith in Jesus on the cross is not that Jesus existed. It's not that Jesus just lived or is a historical figure. It is a belief, a faith, that Jesus is our Messiah. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. Lord means absolute authority. Final statement on anything. He is our Lord. This is what it means. This is the second level of faith, that God so loved the world. Do you know how hard it is to convince people that God loves them? Well, think about yourself. You probably heard it before. God loves you. "Yeah. Well, if he loves me, how come he lets me go through all this junk?" Well, he's not letting you go through it. He's waiting for you to call. He's waiting for you to respond to what he's already done. Amen. He said, "If you call on my name, I will no wise cast you out." He said, "If you call on my name, I will come and make my home in you." He says, "If I come, I will bring the Father, and he'll bring the Holy Ghost, and the three of us will make our abode in you." That's what John says. He's waiting on you. Well, why isn't God doing more to help me? He's done as much as he can. He's waiting for a response. We call it faith. I'm waiting for God to heal me. Well, you can wait all you want to. He's already healed you. We're fighting against sickness to get the healing because the devil's trying to steal your health. Amen. But you're already healed. You're already forgiven of sin, but we've got to respond to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you've come in my life. Thank you, God, you've made all things new. So, in a world filled with pride and hate and division and selfishness and revenge, the idea that God loves us instead of being angry at us is a dramatic shift in our faith. Because most people have been convinced by the church, the institutional church, that God is angry at you. And the only way you can appease God is to make sacrifice. Instead of saying, Jesus has already offered the sacrifice. You need to accept what he's already done. You need to believe what Jesus has already accomplished. But that's so hard when you think God's mad at you. Well, why is he mad at you? Well, because everybody is hateful. Everybody's selfish. Everybody has pride. Everybody has all this. God can't put up with that stuff, so therefore he hates me. Yeah, but God offered the sacrifice to cover your sin. Listen, this is the good news. God isn't mad at you. If you want the reality, he never was. He just couldn't have fellowship with you because you don't believe in him. Hello? Well, I want to believe that God's good. No, you have to believe he is. Well, how do I know that God is good? He gave his son to die for you. Well, how do I know I can trust God? Again, he gave his son to die for you. The Bible says he's not a man that he should lie. See, this is the first barrier to have faith. You've got to get over. You've got to break through this barrier that God loves me. And until you reach that, it's hard to have faith in God. It's hard to trust God. It's hard to trust a God that you think is angry with you, that you think is upset. It's a major readjustment in our way of thinking. And it can take some people years to get over that. I've known some people get offended when you say, well, God loves you. He can't love me. I've done all these things. Yeah, he loves you. They argue. Do you know what I'm going to do if I would give you a gift and you argue with me? I'm not worthy of it. I'm not going to accept it. I'll argue and I'll try, but I just want to do this for you. It's not because of anything you've done. I just want to give this. No, I'm not worthy. After a while, I'm going to take my gift and go home. Now, gratefully, God's a lot more patient than I am. But there are times God will take his gift and go home. And he'll wait for you to be in a better mood. So he'll come back to you and say, I still have a gift for you. Will you accept it? See, I used to be real hard to receive gifts because I always thought I was imposing on people. And I never wanted to impose on anybody. So when people would offer me something, Debbie and I were going through a financial situation at one time, and we had another pastor showed up at the church, and he said, God told me that you're in financial need and I'm to give you some money. So do you need it? No. And I'm thinking to myself, my God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And God sent someone to give us some money. I don't know how much, because I refused it. He said, oh, maybe she was just going to give you $50. You don't know. I don't know. Maybe she was going to give me $10,000. Hello? He said, well, you'd be an idiot to refuse $10,000. I was an idiot if it was only $20. Hello? Debbie had a talk with me afterwards. She says, God sent someone here to bless you, and you refused it. Dummy, dummy, dummy. It's like, man, some pastors are just thick-skulled. We have to have prophets come three times before we believe it, you know, before we accept it. But you've done the same thing, haven't you? To turn down the blessing of God. Well, God, how do I know you really want to give this to me? I'm handing it to you. The question is not whether I am giving it. The question is whether you will receive it. Will you receive the love of God? Will you receive his mercy? Will you receive his compassion? Will you receive that it's not because of anything that you have done. It's just the nature and character of God to love you. This is who he is. The Bible defines God several ways, but one of the ways it says God is love. That's who he is. It doesn't say God is hate. No, 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 no. It doesn't say God is a spirit of division. No, God doesn't have a spirit of division. He's just got a spirit of unity. He prays that we would become all new in Christ, that we would lay aside our differences, Gentile, Jew, male, female, slave, free, black, white, that lay aside all those things. All the things that in the natural divide us. God says, I don't care. I created you in my image. Now, does that mean he created only men in his image? No. It means he created women in his image too. So we got to get some thinking straightened out. It used to be that we thought that only whites were created in the image of God. People believed that. We were the superior race. I was taught in school. You know, this is how humanity developed. And it's like, we all bought it. And it was used for justification for slavery. Horrible thing. They weren't fully human. That's what some people taught about black people. They weren't fully human. Well, wait a minute. Did they bury their dead? Yeah. Did they put things in the grave with them? Yeah. Well, then according to an archaeologist, they're human. Get over it. Grow up. Get real. You know, Moses married a black woman? His sister got upset about it and came to him. He says, what's it to you? She had to repent. I mean, it's like, these are weird things, but it's Bible. God doesn't care. It's not based on who you are. It's not based on what circle you were born into. It's based on who God is, that he loves us. This is the second level of faith, that God so loved the world. Now, still in John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now listen to this, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants to give us everlasting life. I love this phrase. It's two words. You can guess life is Zoe. That means life is only God possesses. No animal, no plant possesses this kind of life. Only God does. And only people whom God gives it to possess this kind of life. Zoe is a unique life that only God has. Okay? Everlasting is everlasting. Now, there's some places it talks about Zoe singularly, and there's other places where it says everlasting life. And it's two words. God will give you a life that will last forever. Not just the years you live on the earth, and not just when you die and go to heaven. God will give you an everlasting life, the same quality, the same character, the same nature as only God possesses. Listen to this. In John 5:24, Jesus said, the man who spoke in red letters, okay, Jesus, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word, how does faith come? By hearing. He who hears my word and believes, who accepts what God says and believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life. He says, if you hear the word and you believe in me, you have everlasting life. In other words, all you do is believe. All you do is to accept what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. You believe in what he's done. You have everlasting life. Well, I don't feel like I have everlasting life, but God doesn't lie. He says, if you believe, you have the very life that only God possesses. Now let's keep reading here, because this gets really good. And shall not come into judgment. Woo! Hallelujah! There's no judgment against me. I will not come into judgment. I have everlasting life. Now that's judgment about heaven or hell. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I will not come into judgment. It goes on to say, but has passed from death into Zoe. I was dead, now I'm Zoe. Now I'm in the life of God. This is, I've passed into this. See, I've got everlasting life. When you hear and believe, or I'm sorry, what you hear and believe moves you from death to Zoe. What you hear and believe. Faith moves us from death into life. The part of the Word of God that you believe will always work for you. Did you catch that?
Yes.
The part of the Word of God that you believe will work for you. It'll begin. If you believe in healing, healing is working for you. If you believe that when you die and you're going to go to heaven, it'll work for you. Now, we've got the most confidence in that because that's what's been taught. Healing is relatively new. It's only been taught for about the last 116 years now. So healing is relatively new. We're still trying to figure out healing. Even people that believe in healing are trying to figure out healing. But we have no problem about salvation. Hey, I know when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Well, that's great. But do you know that when you accepted Jesus in this life, you have Zoe life? You have everlasting life right now. Did you know that you don't have to wait till you die to get the promises of God, that the promises are effective now? See, these are different levels of faith. These are different qualities. These are different things we believe. We believe God is at work now. His everlasting life is at work in me now. I have been, not will be, I have been delivered from death into life. Hallelujah. See, it's an ongoing thing, but it's already happened. And it's going to happen in the future. When I put this body aside, I'm going to get, one of these days, I'll get a glorified body. Then you won't laugh at me anymore. Because it'll be perfect. I'll be the handsomest man around outside of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, I'm trying to get you to lighten up a little bit. You're all looking at me like you're real serious. See, but the part of the Word of God that you hear and believe will work for you. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. I've got to let you see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is an awesome scripture when you really begin to listen to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, what does that mean? He's a new creation. And he goes on to explain it. Old things have passed away. Woo! Glory. What old things? Death. That's an old thing, isn't it? Death has passed away. Behold, all things, not a few things, not one or two, all things have become new. Now, verse 18, now all things are of God. See, if old things have passed away and everything has become new, they're new because of God living in me. God's put new life on the inside of me. I've been born again. My spirit man is born again. I'm renewing my soul, my thinking to my spirit man, but my spirit man is now beginning to lead me because he was dead and now he's alive. If you go on down to verse 21, it says, for, this is a reason why this happens, for he made him, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That is awesome. That is a wonderful phrase. We have been made the righteousness of God. It's a great exchange. Jesus was made to be sin for us. We were made to be righteous with his righteousness, not ours, not by our works, not by anything that you and I have done, but because of who God is. Remember, he is love. And if I believe he loved me, then the next step of this level of faith or walk of faith is to believe that I have the life that God has. That's what the new birth is. I believe I have the life of God. Not one of these days. It's working in me now. Hallelujah. It's at work renewing my mind right now. It's at work renewing my body right now in Jesus' name. See, his life is at work within me. Old things have passed away. This is the third level of faith. Christ in me, the hope of glory. See, the first level of faith is simply to begin to believe and respond to God when he speaks to us. That's the first level of faith. I've got to hear God. I've got to know that God's calling me. I've got to know that God's at work in my life. I've got to respond to that God voice that's calling me. The second level is that I believe that God so loved the world. If he so loved the world, he loved me. And then the third level of faith is Christ in me, the hope of glory. I have eternal life. Somebody ought to shout on that. You have eternal life. Listen, God lives on the inside of you. People say, well, you hear people on TV getting interviewed. I just don't like them. They're too hearty for me. They talk like they know God. As a believer, you ought to. As a believer, you ought to know God's voice. as a believer, you should know his voice because you have to follow his voice. Amen? He'll warn you. He'll tell you things that are coming before they happen, just to let you know. The Bible says God always tells his servants things that happen before they happen. There's always a witness. You hear so many people, I knew that was going to happen. Yeah, how'd you know? The Spirit of God. He's leading you. He's trying to prepare you for what lays ahead of you. But everything I want doesn't work out the way I think it should. I know it. There's a thief in the world. But that thief cannot steal God's love for me. And that thief cannot steal his everlasting life from me. No matter what happens, God will never leave me or forsake me. He'll always be with me. This is his promise to me. This is his commitment. Amen? James 1:25. I wanted to go a little bit deeper into James 1:25, but I'll just do this. It says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. This is a fourth level of faith. You've got to act on what you hear. So, well, that's easy. No. You've got to act on what you hear. See, we have grown content, even in a word of faith movement, charismatic movement, Pentecostal movement, I don't care whatever movement you're in, we've all grown accustomed. If we have heard it often enough, we think we're living it. You're not living it till you live it. Now, I'll give you this word that'll help you out a little bit. You always know more than what you're living. Okay, so don't get condemned if you're not living up to everything you think you know, because you always know it before you can do it. I've got to hear before I can obey, amen? I've got to know certain things before I can start out doing it. I just can't say, well, I'm following God. Well, where's the leader? I have no clue. Well, did God tell you to go out? No, but I'm just going by faith. No, you're not going by faith. You're going by presumption. You're going by whatever you think feels good at the moment, but you're not being led by the Spirit of God. Listen, in the Spirit of God, there's no confusion. Some of you got that. If I'm following the Spirit of God, there's no confusion. If there's confusion, then either somebody's messing up my signal or it's not God. Some of you, that'll give you an answer. But in God, there's no confusion. He's not the God. Not the author of confusion, but envy and strife and jealousy, all that is confusion. Now let me finish up on this. Fourth level of faith is act on what you hear. What have we heard? Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We have a commandment. As a body of Christ, as Christians, we have a commandment. If you don't like that one, here's one over in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Sounds a lot like Matthew 28, doesn't it? Same commandment. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out devils, demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up dead serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I tell you, everybody, every Pentecostal, every charismatic gets excited about, in my name we're going to cast out devils, we're going to speak with new tongues, we're going to raise up the dead, we're going to do all these things. Yeah, but it says go. We like sitting better. If Jesus would have said sit and make disciples of all nations, oh, we can do that. But he didn't say sit, he said go. Woody always says the first two-thirds of God's name is go. Go. Jesus said, go. See, this is where a lot of times our faith stops. We're not willing to put into practice what we think we know because we have fear, We have doubt. We have concerns. We don't fully know the love of God. We're walking in confusion. How do I know that God's real? Because Jesus died on the cross. How do I know that God loves me? Because he raised Jesus from the dead. How do I know God is with me? Because God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So when you begin to put all these things together, faith begins to arise. If God is with me, I can talk to him. If I can talk to him, now catch this. This is deep theologically. If I can talk to him, it must mean he talks to me. Now see, you'll get in a whole lot of trouble right there. Who do you think you are that God talks to you? Well, he talked to me when I was a sinner, so I guess I'm nobody special. He talks to me because I'm his child. He talks to me because I love him, because he loves me. He talks to me. See, this should not be an unusual thing to a believer. But yet to many churches, it is a wrong doctrine. Because, well, my father said it this way. God doesn't talk to us anymore like he did in the days of the Bible. Today he talks to us through the word of God, the written word, and by the tradition of the church. Well, I'll tell you, the church is pretty messed up. How do you pick and choose which tradition is the right one? How do you do that? And how do you understand the Bible if the Holy Spirit doesn't interpret it for you? There's been a lot of people who have gone nuts trying to interpret the Bible and get the correct doctrine, and they've killed others to get the right doctrine. Even Martin Luther said, the just shall live by faith. And yet, he hated the Jews, and he hated this group and that group. He hated Catholics, and he was filled with a lot of hate and a lot of racism. But yet, he came up with the concept, the just shall live by faith. See, I was brought up with, well, God loves everybody. So, well, he does love everybody. But some receive his love. Others have rejected it. Those who receive the love of God walk in the love of God. But I was raised that you treat everybody alike, you treat everybody just, you trust everybody because they're all godly. I found out a lot of people aren't godly. I found out you've got to have a witness of the Spirit. One of the definitions in the Bible is the discerning of spirits to know who you can trust and who you shouldn't trust. Hello? Well, those things are spiritually discerned. But if there's no Spirit, how can you spiritually discern things? The tradition of the church gives me a bad taste in my mouth because I've been around some people that they'll talk about the love of God and whap you upside the head. It's not the love of God. The love of God calls us. It reconciles us. It reaches out to us. The love of God puts up with a lot of junk. The love of God speaks truth to us. And the love of God speaks the righteousness of God to us. And the love of God calls us to know who he is. This is the God that we want to preach. This is the God we want to have faith in. This is the kind of God that we can have faith in because we know he wants our best. That kind of a God I can trust. I can yield myself to him. But you have so many people, well, you never know what God's going to do. If you read the Bible, you do. Every single time you know what God's going to do. It doesn't lend itself to error except as men translate it for their own benefit. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't we have a good God? He's working in us 24/7. Amen. Let's stand. Praise you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Father, we thank you today. for your love. We thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ who died to set us free. We thank you, Father, that your love raised him from the dead. And Lord, you have caused us to be made alive by the same glory that raised Jesus from the dead, by the same life that raised him up out of hell. God, you have raised us up and made us alive too. And Father, we thank you that you have come and made your home within every person who believes in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And Father, we ask you, Lord, let our faith be developed. Let our faith be more and more dependent upon you and less dependent on ourselves and less dependent upon the natural things of this world, that our faith would be in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. We ask all this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.